This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Monday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's August 11th, episode 974, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
Well, hello, all you happy people. Thank you for joining us on this fine Monday morning. Actually, it's a rainy, tropical Monday morning here in Ocala, Florida. Jamie, when I left you on Friday, you said, we talked a little bit after the show, and I said, you got anything going this weekend? You said, oh, it's going to be a nice, quiet weekend at home. And then I see on Facebook that you make the classic mommy mistake. Tell us about the classic mommy mistake.
You are now
indoctrinated into the Mommy Hall of Fame because you have done this.
Oh, my gosh. Wait, there's so much to do when you try to leave the house with a freaking baby. I don't even remember where I was going. Clearly, it didn't matter that much. I think I was going to the grocery store. Glamorous lifestyle. So I take all my crap, the diaper bag and the this and that and all my stuff and the baby, and I'm carrying all of it out to the car, and I got my phone in the hand with the baby. I put all the other stuff down. I set my phone on top of the car, and I put the baby in the car seat. I grab all my stuff. I get in the car, and I drive away. I get about probably three-quarters of a mile down the main road and realize that I don't have my phone, because my phone always connects, you know, through the Bluetooth thing, and it didn't show up on the Bluetooth, and I knew. I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So I turn around and start driving home rather quickly, because I had a really good case on it. You know, I was like, it's going to be fine. It bounced under the road. No big deal. I found it. It's a good case. And it probably survived a fall onto the road. What it did not survive is somebody running over it repeatedly with their car.
Oops. So, actually,
when I picked it up and put it in the car, the Bluetooth still worked. It connected.
Oh, my God.
It was like, yeah.
Was the screen shattered or just completely gone, like in pieces?
Oh, it was shattered. It was still like I found the back of the case. I found the screen, which is like glass, but it's kind of like car glass. It all sticks together. And then I found the body of the phone. So I picked it all up, like, sadly, just like kind of smushed it together and put it in the car. And then, like, boop, my Bluetooth lit up. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So, obviously, battery ended up.
There's two things that give you that sinking feeling. One is if you lose your wallet. Two, if you lose your phone. That's the same sinking feeling, you know? Ugh.
It's awful, and there's just nothing worse. And I'd like to thank everybody that tried to help me with my phone conundrum over the weekend, because I had no phone, and I was trying to get another one. And so I went to the dealer that the company, and the guy was awful. The salesman at AT&T was such a jerk. Like, he was this big, like, giant workout guy that, like, works out his upper half of his body and, like, never works out his legs. So you know this guy's, like, super top-heavy, really
like a big triangle.
Macho. Yeah, he was a big triangle, exactly. Not a good way. And he comes over, and he was very pushy. And I am with a baby. I'm by myself. And I was about in tears by the time I left. So,
You mean it wasn't like that commercial where the family walks into the phone, got to place, and the nice lady comes over and whispers.
We're trying to keep the baby asleep. No, it was like, you need this phone, and you need to do this, and you need to do this. And I'm like, I'm not in Jersey, you know. Why are you talking to me like a Jersey salesman? Because that's what I felt like. I was at a car dealership in New Jersey. So no offense to all of our listeners in New Jersey. I say that with love. So I leave. I'm like, that's it. I'm never coming back to the store. Well, it turns out to get a new phone, blah, 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 details. You have to, like, pay to get out of your contract, and I was not in my contract, blah, blah, blah. So I ended up having to go back, and I went back yesterday. And something happened that I have never experienced. So we get in there, and, of course, Triangle Man is in there. And they're like, hi, welcome to AT&T. They said, what can we do for you today? I said, I need a new phone, but I am definitely not talking to Carlos. And they were like, really? And I'm like, yes. I said, I don't even want him to look at me.
Now, were you with Chad at this point, or were you still alone with the baby? Okay.
No, I was with Chad and the baby. And the baby is in his car seat, and he's asleep. Okay, so I'm in the AT&T store, baby in his car seat asleep, and Chad and I are standing there. And so they get us a rep to help us, not Carlos, and we're sitting there at the table closest to the door, okay? So double doors, right, glass wall next to us. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I see my husband jump up and sprint to the door and jump on a guy. Like, he's like, really? Are you kidding me? And he, like, leaps on this guy. What I didn't see was behind me, this guy runs into the store, because at this point the alarms are going off. He runs into the store, grabs two tablets that are, you know how they have the display on the walls?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah. This guy grabs two tablets, yanks them off the wall, and turns and sprints to the door. Well, my husband was mad about the ceiling, but my car seat with my baby are like 5 feet from this jerk who stole all of these things off the wall and sprinted by and almost hit the car seat. And
that got his dad dander up.
Oh, dude, Papa Bear, I'm glad I didn't see it. But Papa Bear sprung into action, and it's like, He got to the door, and he grabs the guy by the shirt, and he's like, are you kidding me? And he goes to punch him. Seriously, my husband goes to punch this guy who's stealing, and he looks over at me. I can see him. He pauses. He's got the guy in his clutches. He looks at me, looks at the car seat, and he lets the guy go. And it was just like, it was like the most heroic moment. I was so proud of him. So, of course, Triangle Man, who's, like, beefy, I'm like, Carlos, where were you, dude? Why didn't you go after him? You know, because I know Carlos, and I clearly hate Carlos at this point. So I'm like, he's like, we're not allowed to go after anybody. I'm like, so you're letting my husband go after him? So ended up, our salesman ran out the door, chased the guy down the street. Turns out, walking out of the restaurant next door is an undercover cop.
Oh, no.
Oh, and you know that a dude like that undercover is, like, ready to spring into action. He was off duty or whatever. You could see the gun underneath his shirt, right? So he's like, boom, he springs into action. They go chasing the guy. There's sales reps chasing the guy. There's this cop chasing the guy. They're calling because everybody has a phone. 911. All of a sudden, police cars spring into action, drive in. This jerk face who stole the phones and almost ran over my baby and my husband almost punched, stole the phone, jumped into a car, and went next door. He didn't even drive away. Stupid idiot. So everybody, there's a billion witnesses outside. I mean, this is a very busy place. On like a Sunday evening, everybody's out there. They're like, you guys looking for a gray Pontiac? It's right over there behind that Desert Schools area. So they drive over, all the cops swarm, and they arrest him. So my salesman comes back in, and I was like, did you guys get him? And this place is packed. And we were, like, waiting for an hour at this AT&T store, crazy busy. I'm like, did you get him? And he goes, we got him. And the whole place, like, busted into applause. It was awesome. justice was served. It was great. And so my husband was...
Although next time, tell him he hesitating could have gotten him in big trouble. If he's going to do that, he hits the guy. Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Because
well,
he could have got, you know, that could have turned south really fast. But then you're in a moment, you don't think about this stuff, you're just doing, you know?
Yeah. But see, I'm the kind of person, if that happened, I would be so shocked that I would just stand there like an idiot, which it was behind me, so I have an excuse, I didn't see it, but I just stood there like an idiot. And my husband is like, everybody else stood there and watched this guy. And my husband, like, sprung into action, ran over the door, grabbed him, and, of course, the guy turned on and cussing. The alarms are going off. The baby wakes up. So I was pretty mad about that anyway because the baby's now awake in a phone store. But it was just – I was so impressed. I mean, like, all night last night, I was like, oh, my God, you're such a hero. Like, you're the one person who did something, even though you were smart about it and you hesitated. And, I mean, the guy couldn't grab a gun or anything. He had a – the tablet in each hand, you know, but I'm like, you're the one person who actually did something about it. And what's funny is that the second, if anybody's thinking of running into an AT&T store and grabbing tablets, they deactivate them immediately.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can't use them. Basically they're brick. Yeah. They call it bricking them actually is what they call it.
Really?
Yeah.
Our sales guy was like, I hope he enjoyed the 3 minutes that phone and tablet were active. I hope he made some calls.
Yeah, and they're connected to – I didn't realize those were alarmed. I knew they were connected to the cord, but I didn't know they were alarmed.
Oh, yeah. They yanked it and it was like, bah, 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 bah. And two of them went off. So it was like – I mean, it's like when your smoke detector goes off in your house and how annoying that is. Yeah. They are alarmed.
Look at that fighter pilot. He's not just a pilot. He's a man of action.
I know. He was a superhero. I was so impressed.
He don't need no stinking $50 million plane with missiles.
He's a trained killer with his bare hands. All right. So that was my Sunday.
Wow. Did you ever get a phone? Let's end with, did you get a phone?
I finally got a phone. I got a phone, and I had to upgrade, and I had to find a new plan. It's going to cost me, I think, of my pinky finger by the end of the month, so sucks. But it's just part of life, I guess.
Only you would have all of this happen while trying to get a new phone.
Right? It was crazy. It was so crazy. Sorry.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that he didn't, like, trip over the baby because your husband would have beat him to a pulp, and then he probably would have been in trouble.
Chad's like, if I would have grabbed him, he would have turned. I was like, if you would have grabbed him and started punching him, I'm like, I'd have been on the other side. Like, I would have mama bear'd him. Like, I didn't realize what was going on, but when Chad grabbed the guy, if you would have started getting in a fight, I'm pretty sure that I would have been in there with fisticuffs too, and I would at least kick him or something.
In the shit.
I'm so tough. I'm just a badass.
Oh, geez. Well, that sounds like an exciting weekend. So much for
Jeffy
your boring
for
weekend
Monday
at home.
Right there, folks.
Yeah, thanks. It's super exciting. I rode
my horse,
by the way. It was great. That was
oh, you should have had a hit him happy. Oh, you didn't have a phone. Darn, I was going to say you could have taken a picture of the burglar dude, but no phone.
Well, you know what else is funny? If you steal from an AT&T, there are like 500 cameras in one of those stores. So there's plenty of pictures of the guy. I should have tried to get one. But, yeah, the hit him happy thing, I did miss a day, Glenn. I did miss the day Saturday because I didn't have a phone. So is it okay? Am I eliminated? Did
yeah, you
I
know,
lose
you're
the contest?
Still okay. If we miss a day, you just keep going. We're not keeping track here. There's no scorecard. Although I am enjoying thoroughly seeing everybody's posts. It's been such a wide variety of posts, too. It's great.
It is fun. You know, we should ask Jennifer at some point what's coming up on today's show. We kind of skipped
over that.
We
probably should. Oh, is there a show today, Jennifer?
Eventually, on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, subsequent to these co-hosts' calamitous phone company confrontations, and amongst some hair-raising news stories, we will connect with Diane Little for our monthly helpful hint. And goodness knows at this point we need a helpful hint. In the third half of the show, the Wacky World of Horse Nation sets the laugh track on continuous play. So So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just Jamie and I talking. That's all. That's the important part. We got things. We got to catch up. We didn't. Well, speaking of which, I got two daily winnies. My first daily winnie goes to a listener of ours by the name of Anita Carey, who posted on her Facebook page that her horse Calvin zigged and Anita didn't. The end result was a shattered pelvis in 5 places.
Oh my gosh.
That's got to hurt. And she said 12 weeks of recovery. Ugh. And you can see how this happens. The horse ducks out from under your... It just happens so quickly, and you end up landing on your butt, and that's what happens. You break your pelvis. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 5 places, though, 12 weeks of recovery, that's a lot of laying around. That's a lot of listening to us, Anita. I pity you, poor woman. We're thinking about you and wishing you a speedy recovery. My second one goes to Heather Reynolds. Heather Reynolds has been on the show before. She's been on the Endurance Edition with Karen Chatton, and she has won her second Tevis Cup on Saturday. She got in at 9:32 p.m. I think they leave at like 7 a.m. So she got in at 9:32 p.m. This was the second time she has won. Her husband has also won before, so they have domination going on. Her husband has 3 first place finishes, and she has now 2. So between the two of them, it's 5 belt buckles from Tevis. And I wanted to let you know that tomorrow just happens to be the Endurance Day with Karen Chatton, and Heather Reynolds is going to be on the show with us. So she'll be joining us tomorrow morning here on Horses in the Morning. You'll get to hear from the winner of Tevis. This is before she heads over to WEG, because they're also both her and her husband are on the WEG team. So they're going to have to leave, I think, tomorrow for France. So win the Tevis, head off to the endurance ride at WEG. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Ugh. Oh, my. I've got chafing just listening. Oh, my gosh. My booty sore because of that story and this story. The Mongol Derby continues.
Okay,
day
5
yesterday.
I haven't heard any
updates.
What's the update?
So... it's crazy. I've been following it like crazy because my friend Madison is riding in it. But 5 days they've been going. There have been horses that have been stuck in bogs, people that have been super sick. Yesterday, apparently there was a lead pack. They lost 2 of the people in the lead pack. One girl leaves station 19, and her horse, she gets 11 kilometers away from the station. Her horse bucks her up 11 kilometers out and turns around and runs back all the way back to the last station. So she has to trudge 11 kilometers back. They give her a different horse. She gets back on and goes again. I would be like, that's it. That's it. The Lord
take me home. Bring the helicopter.
Take me home. So my friend Madison is in the 3rd pack. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. She's in 10th. She's in 10th right now, which is huge. There's so many people so much farther behind them. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's like 10 people that have already retired. And so congratulations, Madison. We are totally cheering for you, girl. And congratulations to all these crazy people. There are 2 U.S. riders that are in the front pack. And that is Bonnie Hutton and Barbara Smith. And then Mary Lee is in the next pack, and then Madison is in, and Lisa, who she's riding with. Actually, Madison was almost in the first pack, but her riding partner, Lisa, wasn't feeling good and got sick, I guess, having a lot of – one girl quit because she had a UTI. And girls out there, you know how painful it would have been to ride with a UTI. I would have quit too. But I guess Lisa got sick, so Madison slowed down for her, and they stopped early one day, and so she actually lost a lot of her lead. But good for her for sticking with her friend. I'd have been like, oh, I'm sorry you're sick. Peace, I got to go. I'm in the front. But she's – a better person than I am.
Yeah, I'm just looking here at the I'm looking at the map, at the GPS tracker, and Boy, they got a ways to go yet. This thing isn't near over.
I know. 5 days, they're only like, some of them are, I think, just halfway through.
That's just crazy. Wow. I mean, this is crazy. And, and a lot of them are out there alone. I mean, alone.
Yeah. Oh, well, everybody, most of them are. So, it's a grueling thing. I can't believe I'm watching it. I still want to do it, but it's definitely.
Yeah, you're going to need to get in shape for that one.
Yeah. And I'm not anywhere close. I can't even sit through you talking about the Tevis Cup before I get sore.
All right. Before we get on to things, one of our friends of the Horse Radio, Elisa Wallace, apparently did pretty well over the weekend, huh?
Yes. I was so excited for her. She was in the Young Event Horse, which is Young Event Horse competition is where they take up-and-comers, and they do make them go and run a horse trial. But because they're all very young, it's a kind of a more basic, depending on how old they are, but the one she was in was a more basic cross-country course, a more basic dressage test and show jumping. But still, that is, and they judge them on, like, their future potential, their breeding. They judge them on everything. Elisa finished in third place with a Mustang. Usually a young event horses are big, giant warm bloods. And check this out with the scores. Elisa and Rune, I think it was a four-year-old Mustang she was in with, finished in third place with a score of 73.7. The second place finisher, 73.8. The first place finisher, 74. So she was 3/10 of a point out of first place with a Mustang. So I'm just so proud of Elisa and taking this Mustang and promoting the breed and putting it, kind of miring it in the eventing culture and showing people what they are capable of doing. She's just, it's awesome. I'm so excited for her.
That's terrific. Congratulations, Elisa and Rune. She said she was going to take this horse out and show the world what a Mustang can do, and she's doing it.
Yeah. And the one she got from the Fianto, she got a saddle on over the weekend. I don't know when she has time to do all this stuff, but she got a saddle on, I guess maybe it was before she left, for the first time. And, he's the injured one that she got from Ellie Price. But she's still training him and just taking it easy on him, and I think she's going to get him out there too.
Well, terrific. Good for her.
Yeah.
Well, we had a quieter weekend than you did.
Not hard.
Playing with ponies. We went to see Guardians of the Galaxy.
How
we went
was
to see
it?
I thought about you while watching Guardians of the Galaxy, and this was a little known one of the Marvel comics from back in 1969. They started this one, and then they rebooted it in 2008. But it's going to be a huge hit. I mean, the place was it was pretty full, and it is just funny. It kind of was reminiscent of the first Star Wars. It had a lot of humor in it. It was very funny. We enjoyed it. Both of us enjoyed it a lot. The little raccoon dude and the big tree are the best part of the whole movie. I mean, they just steal the show. It's very good. We absolutely loved it. If you like sci-fi, just put, all reality away and just have some fun, then this is the movie for you. However, there is one thing I thought about. Knowing your love of 70s and early 80s music, you will shoot yourself by the end of this movie, because the idea is, and this is no secret, this has been out there, that the main character dude has this mixtape that his parents had made for him of 70s and 80s music. So what you hear throughout the entire movie is Hooked on a Feeling, Spirit in the Sky, Fooled Around and Fell in Love, Cherry Bomb, Ain't No Mountain High Enough. That's what you hear the entire way through the movie. But you know what? It just worked in this movie. It really did work. They made it work. I heard that they had the songs picked out before they wrote the script, so they were written as part of the script.
Oh, see, when you said all those songs, I think I heard of one of them.
Oh, you've heard them. You've heard them, believe me. You've heard them. And you've probably hated every one of them. Because every time I try to put something that's a little disco-y in, I Want You Back by Jackson 5 was in there. David Bowie was in there. So anyway, just I thought about you and I thought, oh, she's going to hear this lovely 70s music and be like shooting herself by the end of this movie.
We're going to go. We're going to go this week, and we try to go to a movie while the baby's taking his nap. So, I mean, we take the baby. We don't leave him at home. But we put him in a seat, and he'll sleep through the whole movie. So I think we want to go see it. And the main guy is on my favorite TV show, Parks and Rec. So I definitely want to go support him in his movie. And it just looked hilarious. And everybody I've seen has said it was hilarious.
It was. It was very. And I didn't know. We weren't going to see it, actually. We thought it kind of looked stupid in the trailers we had seen. And, you know, in the months leading up to it, the trailers didn't do it justice. And then we kind of thought it looked stupid. We were going to go see it until everybody raved about it. I mean, there wasn't a bad review out there. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to go see it. And we did. I would give it a 5 out of 6 flakes in a bale.
Really?
Jennifer, what would you give it?
Well, the bale keeps changing. It used to
no,
be a 5-flake bale.
Six flakes in
this
my bale.
Six.
There always has been
every
six.
Every bale is different.
You guys,
I mean,
yes.
You know.
I'm going to give it a 5. It's not getting a 6 just because... not all of the performances were really up to snuff. I think some of the acting could have been better, but then they had a pretty limited script, just like Star Wars did. So I'm giving it a 5 out of 6 and a large popcorn. Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that some of the acting was a little lax. Not your guy. He was pretty good. But, yeah, so it was fun. You know who was awful? You don't want to know who was awful? Vin Diesel was awful. He was terrible in that role.
I liked Vin Diesel.
I didn't like it
job.
At all. I thought he was terrible. I thought he was awful in it.
But, Vin Diesel can read the encyclopedia, and Jen and I would think he did fine.
Yeah.
I just thought his performance was a little not inspired. And the raccoon dude was great. I mean, he was just terrific. And the tree guy.
If they don't win some kind of an Academy Award for the CGI on Rocket and Groot, there's something wrong.
Yeah, Groot's the tree. Groot's the best part of the whole movie. And I guarantee you that there will be a bazillion Groots being sold at Christmas time. Yes, there will.
Was that likable, huh?
Oh, you're gonna walk away like everybody did, loving the tree. The tree got the biggest laughs of anything in the movie.
And who played the tree? I know it's somebody we know.
Yeah. Trying to remember. Jennifer will look it up for us. She'll look it up for us. I don't remember.
It's somebody, because I saw him being interviewed, and he was talking about how his kids, like, he had very limited lines in it, I guess, but when he did talk, it was funny.
Doesn't, I'm not going to ruin it, but no spoilers here, but the tree doesn't say a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. It was good. It was fun. And they set it up so beautifully for a sequel, of course.
Oh. You know. Okay. He's the tree. Vin Diesel is the tree.
Oh, well, then who's the big guy? Maybe I got it wrong. I thought Vin Diesel was the big guy. No. Okay. Well, Vin Diesel didn't even have to show up. Who was the big guy is the question. I have to look that up because he was the one I thought was a little uninspired.
Okay, find that out. But you look at that while I mention the fact that we made some picks for a horse race on Friday, and I just want to go over them.
Which race was it? I don't even remember anymore.
Four Star Dave. I gave you the history of it. It was named after a horse. You know, it was an amazing horse. The Four Star Dave handicap. I said that there's one horse that is definitely going to win this race. And let's see. I'm trying to figure out who that was because now I don't have the list in front of me. Anyway, there was one horse that was going to win the race. And I said we just all need to pick out the second. Silver Max was the shoe-in. And we're just picking second place. So, Jennifer, did you pick?
Oh, she's calling. I think she's given a call. She's calling the guest.
Okay, well, she picked a horse named Syad or something like that. And
yes,
then
yes.
Which horse did you pick?
I picked Grand Arch.
Grand Arch. And then I was like, well, I'll take Zeke again. Well, I just want to let you know, Zeke again won the race, and Grand Arch came in second. So you
really?
Did good.
Yay.
You picked second place. I mean, after all of it, you did pick second place. Now, Silver Max apparently had just come off of a layoff, his second start back. Dale Roman said he just didn't quite maybe do enough. That horse, the favorite, finished in dead last. So
really?
That just goes to show you. They don't know. Nobody knows who's going to win a horse race. There's no science to it whatsoever.
Okay, yeah, that's and now you. I knew that this must have been the case because you would not have brought it up if your horse had come in last place. We would have forgotten all about it, and we would have never talked about it again. So I knew when you said in the pre-show today that you wanted to talk about this, that it was probably because your horse won.
No, I wanted to keep our listeners in the know on what happened. I thought it was important.
Yes, okay, I believe you.
So the big guy that played Drax, his name is Dave Bautista. And Dave Bautista has really done nothing else but be in the WWF, the wrestling. So
he looked huge. I mean, he was a huge dude. He was a huge thing.
I get it now. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you look at his IMDb page, it's the WWE SmackDown, WWE Live in the UK, WWE Tribute for the Troops, WWE SmackDown.
So and Guardians of the Galaxy.
And yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, okay, that explains it. His acting was a little lax. Now we know why.
Yeah, now you know why, because he's been hit in the head with a folding chair one too many times.
All right, let's take a break. We didn't get to any of the news we had planned on talking about this half hour. That's a Monday for you. All right, let's take a break for Omega Alpha Equine, and then we're coming back with our first guest, Diane Little from Piece by Piece Farm, with our training tip of the month.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. And they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship, whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Pace, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares. And you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, coming up next, we have Diane Little from Piece by Piece Farm. She's going to give us our training tip of the month.
And thank God she is, because I've decided that I'm going to head to a horse trial in September. I'm going to try to make the Copper Meadows horse trial in September. And one of the things that I am absolutely terrible, and I panic the most about, Glenn, is remembering my course. Especially the show jumping course. Thank God they put numbers on them in eventing. But I showed hunters my entire life, and it's like, go straight, turn, go straight, go straight, go straight, go straight. And so hunter courses have always been real easy. But jumper courses, for those who've never done one, you jump and you turn and you jump and you turn and you jump and you go to the other end of the arena and you jump and then you turn. It's very, very twisty and windy and can be incredibly challenging for those of us who may not have that kind of memorization ability. And that is what Diane is going to talk about today. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you're here, because it's just, you always time your topics perfectly. And I'm just gonna write everything down that you say.
I think that is one of the biggest stressors sometimes, where people when they're at the horse shows is simply remember their courses, which honestly you try. You don't really want that to be the only thing we're focusing on, because we really want to focus on the riding part. So I try. You know, I was at a horse show this weekend, and a bunch of my kids had four jumper classes, all different courses that they rode back to back. That's a lot of courses to remember. Even I was getting kind of jumbled in my head which ones you need to, which one you're doing at that time. So the most important thing that you can do is walk the courses. Do not skip your walk. Do everything you possibly can to make your walk. It is worth it 150%. Some people say, oh, no, I don't need to. You do. You might think you don't, but you do. I walk, if I do a 0.8 or if I did a meter 40, I walk every single class I do as long as I can. So that is number one. Make sure you're in there walking. Number two, and this is something I love to do, is when you're at home, change your courses all the time. I'm really into course design. I change my courses once a week, and then I'm forcing my students to be able to, you know, learn different courses every week. I give them long courses at home. Anything that I can do to make them comfortable remembering all those jumps in a row.
Absolutely. So walking the course. Now, sometimes, I mean, in eventing, the course walk is pretty common. You have somebody hold your horse and you go out there and walk it. But there's sometimes when you don't have the time, you're like, I've been where the course walk was going on and I'm still running cross country because divisions are that big. So I've missed course walks. So
yes.
If we can't walk the course, what do you suggest?
Yes, I mean, that happens to everybody, and you know, it's always frustrating because it's a thing that you so badly want to have. There's a couple things that you can do. You can, and this is something I've done many a times, try to walk the course that goes before, like walk the course you go that goes before you. Walk the smaller division if you can. Even if it's not even the same course as yours, get yourself in that ring so you can see the way the jumps are lined up. You can see, you can walk the lines and know if this is short, if this is long. Now, if you really, really, really have no ability to get in there, I would say that you should, when you're learning it, walk around your arena. You know, be careful so that if somebody's jumping in there, you're not, you know, walking right by a jump that they're about to jump towards. But walk around your arena. Don't just stand by the end gate and find the course. Things look different from different angles. Make sure you get as many angles of your ring as you possibly can.
Okay. So make sure basically that you're basically saying get your feet on the ground in the arena. That's going to be the best way to help remember a jumper course. Now,
I think so.
I was saying that there's such a difference between designing hunter courses and designing jumper courses.
Yes.
And,
the hunters are very much more simplistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you say you do a lot of course design and you're interested in it, are you more interested in the hunter style, because I know that's what you do, or the jumper style? What do you practice at home?
Definitely the jumper stuff. I actually, my barn is predominantly jumpers. So I would say more jumpers in a way than hunters, but to be honest, the courses really aren't that different that you set. You just do different courses within those jumps. You know, every jumper course has a line. Every jumper course has a diagonal. So usually my courses can kind of be tailored to anybody. You just have to, you know, go about them in a different way. Obviously, triple combinations, things like that, you know, my hunter riders love to do them, and they're great for them. Make the courses harder. Make them kind of experience every different kind of, you know, ride jump you can do. Then they go into the show ring, and it seems super easy.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Yeah. But now,
I know with hunters you have to really work on your pacing and your striding and all of that. How do you practice a course with jumpers as far as pacing and striding? Is it just different for the different heights of the fences?
I do a lot of work within the flat work with the canners on working a medium, working a collected, and working an extended canner. So basically, the way I always, you know, I tell most of my students that when I treat hunter and jumper, there's not really that big of a difference in that the whole point or what you're looking for with both types of horses is that they're on the hind leg pushing uphill. The biggest difference is that within the hunters, you're not going to work so much kind of that opening, closing. You're going to work that canter and just maintaining a rhythm in that canter. That's hard for these horses to maintain an uphill canter, never losing a rhythm. That's physically quite difficult. With the jumpers, I might work a little bit on opening, closing, and then getting back to the medium so that if we needed to gallop to a jump, we could. If we needed to collect around a turn, we could. But it's the same principle whether you're doing the hunter ring or the jumper ring.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be tough and exhausting either way. Now, any suggestions? Because I know it's tough for the horses to keep that medium canter. Some of us riders may have a little bit of a tough situation trying to keep that medium canter too in a different way. Do you have any kind of off the horse recommendations as far as maybe some exercises for the rider?
Yes. You know, like, I mean, in general, you know, we're riding humongo animals, so we have to be fit, we have to be strong. You know, I do believe in cross training very much, keeping yourself, you know, as in shape as you can. You know, I think when it's taking away that part of it, watch people ride, watch courses, watch your favorite riders, watch your friends. I think that you will go leaps and bounds just by watching and listening to, you know, I listen if I'm in a warm-up ring and, you know, I have trainers beside me. I listen to what those trainers are saying to their students and try to learn from what they say. When I was a working student, I rode a good amount, but I also watched probably more than I rode, and you learn a ton just by kind of watching these riders create rhythm and carry rhythm and you know, be able to hold that medium for the entire course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, my husband made me a Liverpool, and it's pretty, you know, it's awesome, but it's very basic. It's just a tarp around, you know, like some plywood on the ground. And actually, he built it so it could hold a little bit of water, and it's great. And I love it, and I love having the horses jump over it. What do you have in your jump inventory as far as practicing at home? What are some of the must-haves that you need to have?
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could take a picture of my arena and send
please
it
do.
To you, because we get pretty creative with our jumps. I'm looking at it right now. I have planks. I think those are really important for the jump ring. You see planks all the time. I have Liverpools. I also have kind of like these big flower boxes that I put brush in, flowers in. In wintertime, we've put a Christmas tree in the ring. I have a big, humongous tractor tire that we cut in half. You can get really creative with these guys to try to make your ring exciting. But I would say, honestly, for any jumper ring, you should definitely have a Liverpool. I would say some type of gate, you know, so that the horses, whether it's just a plain gate, whether it has a big logo in the middle, something like that, and obviously also some type of flower box. And skinnies, skinny rails are really good too. But in general, you know, go to the horse shows, look at what they have. You don't have to buy super fancy jumps. Go to Michael's or a art store and buy a bunch of flowers and brush and stuff, and just get your ring colorful, decorate, and it's not only good for the horses, it's great for your for the clients, for the riders. I think it makes it fun. They love the jumps. I love the jumps. So you can get really creative to make the rings, you know, nice and bright.
See, and now every time I talk to you, I get a new job to do, and I'm going to go to Michael's today because I totally forgot about putting the flowers, and I've got to take a horse to a horse trial in like a couple weeks that I haven't really been practicing or going anywhere in schooling, so I need to really make my ring creative. So again, Diane, you're costing me money and helping me prepare, so thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I will. Diane Little, Piece by Piece Farm, and I think it's what's your website, dielittle.com?
You got it.
Dielittle.com. That's memory right there, people. Come on. All right. Well, Diane, thank you so much for all the helpful tips and for joining us, and we will talk to you again next month.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Flower boxes, Glenn. Flowers and colors, and I need all of it. I've got the plank. I've got the Liverpool. I've got the gate. I'm pretty much there. I just need the flowers.
Okay, just do me a favor. Put your phone, get a holder. Get a holder for your phone because I can see you dropping it and then taking one of the jumps and moving one of the jumps to go smash right on top of the phone.
Now,
so,
you're going to Ada next weekend. My husband came up with the best idea ever, and I don't know if it is actually already used, but he's like, why do half chaps not have an iPhone holder? And I thought, that's a really good idea.
That is
a really good idea.
Yeah.
So if you see any, let me know. Otherwise, we're going to be millionaires because, you know, clearly it's a great idea. But iPhone holders in the half chap.
That is a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Have to check on that. We'll see if there's any half chaps with iPhone holders. I know most of the clothing
if there
and stuff
are,
now
is
coming
me.
Out with it. I know clothing, a lot of it's coming out with iPhone holders. That seems to be a trend. We'll have to see if that's a trend again this weekend.
Yeah,
we'll check.
Definitely.
We'll check on it for you. Well, let's take a break for our song. You know, last week on Thursday, we had Tammy here for the Road to the Horse episode, and she had a musician on by the name of Stephanie Quayle. And I really liked her music, and I've got another new one here for you. This is probably the first time you're hearing it.
Good.
This is from Stephanie Quayle, and who is going to be doing all the singing at Road to the Horse next year. And this is a song by her called You Inspire Me. And we're going to get to that right after we hear from one of our terrific auditors. And this one has a unique accent. So let's take a look.
Hi, Fiona Crawford here, and I'm an official Horse Radio Network auditor. I'm a horse photographer based in the UK. When I'm editing my images, I listen to a vast selection of great programs provided by the Horse Radio Network. Both informative and really entertaining, I think it's worth a few dollars or pounds of anyone's money. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the banner. And for as little as a dollar a month, you too can become an official Horse Radio Network auditor.
Confident smile and the light in your eyes.
I like it.
You like it? Yeah, she's pretty good. She's pretty good. Her name is Stephanie Quayle. You can find all of her music at stephaniequayle.com. And I wanted to mention, too, we had Fiona, who did the auditor, little auditor promotion there. She sent that in to us, and she's from England. So I just wanted to remind everybody, you don't need to live in the United States to be an auditor. The way that system works through Patreon, they'll take your credit card from any country. So she supports us over there. She's a photographer and listens to us while she's editing her pictures and stuff. So that's kind of cool.
Hey, I've got a another update on the Mongol Derby for you, because while I was talking, they were actually wrapping up the next day. Time, I don't understand the time change at all, but I guess there were more retirements, and Madison is now in the second group, and there's only four people in the lead group in front of her. So more people didn't make it last night. Yeah, she's basically in like fifth and sixth place, her and her friend. And one of the guys in the lead group came in too fast to a checkpoint, so he's got a two-hour penalty down the road. They have their penalties at different stations that they have to do. So she might be in third after that. Who knows? So it is. They've ridden 709 kilometers, 440 miles so far of the 621 miles.
Can you imagine the saddle sores? And I don't mean it for the horse. I'm not talking about the horse here.
We don't care about the horses. Yeah, it's the people. Your butt is shocked.
The horses are only gone, half a day at a time, so that's fine. But
can you imagine the great weight loss program, though?
Yeah,
you're just exercising and eating crap, dead goat. Ugh! I mean, come on, you're
Can I post a complaint too? I'm posting a complaint here. This is relating back to the Hit 'Em Happy stuff. Ruby Kaufman, you're torturing me because I'm not allowed to have sugar in my diet, and then she posts Hit 'Em Happy Day 5 homemade Nutella ice cream.
Oh my God. It looked amazing.
Oh, it looked good. And it was homemade. I mean, they were a little Turner thing in the bucket and Nutella. I've never even heard of Nutella ice cream, but does that sound good? Oh, Nutella on anything sounds good. And now they have those Nutella little snack things where they have a little cracker in there and you dip in Nutella at the checkout of every Walmart. And that's killing me too, by the way.
Just skip the crackers. I mean, think about all the carbs in the crackers. Just stick your tongue directly into the Nutella holder. That's what I do. You don't want all those extra calories.
Hey, we got a couple news stories. We'll have time to get to till Leslie gets here. I want to get through some of these. There were some bizarre news stories over the weekend. Some we can cover, and some are just tragic. But the one. Here's two of them. A horse trailer pulled into a gas station and then parked, and at the outside of the, how we have to park toward the outside of the gas station?
Yeah.
And if you want to go in and get a drink or whatever. So somebody goes in to get a drink, they come out. Well, I don't know how they caught him, but apparently inside the horse trailer was a false door on the bottom, and they parked over the hatch that goes into the underground tanks, and inside the horse trailer, they had a 500-gallon fuel tank, and they stuck a hose down there. They had a pump in the trailer, and they stole 500 gallons of gas from the gas tank while parked over the hole. Is that ingenious or what? Crazy.
Hold on. They drove over those little bumpy things that you run over, and you're like frustrated because your horse is going to fall over. They park over one of them. They lift a false floor out of their trailer. They grab some tubes, stick it down in there, and suck up 500 gallons of gas. That's crazy. But that is somebody that is that used to work for the gas company, because I never would have thought of that.
Well, anybody that worked there would know how to check the tanks and stuff, because they actually stick down, see how much in the tanks. But, the way they haven't caught them yet, and they have the surveillance footage. That's how they figured out what happened. They have a picture of the horse trailer. And they said the horse trailer reportedly had an alien sticker on the back of it. And I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it didn't say, Arab or, this trailer's hauling a quarter horse. It just had an alien sticker on the back. So I guess it was a number of used for horses in the past. Oh, yeah, so there was a bizarre story for you. And then a pony, you know, the little cute ponies that they use for pony rides at birthday parties? You know, those cute little ponies at church festivals. Well, one of them apparently decided to turn into the pony from hell. And something spooked the cute little pony. He tore out the thing he was tied to. He was tied to a stake, apparently, on the ground. He tore it out of the ground and took off running. And the police chief said the pony got spooked by something, and it was startled and broke free. Well, the pony went on a rampage. This is a little pony. The pony went on a rampage, hit a parked truck, then ran through a crowd gathered for the Summerfest event at the church, causing several injuries before it was corralled again in the open field and placed in a trailer. The pony was not hurt, but seven people suffered non-life-threatening injuries. This little pony caused havoc.
I must have really been scared. And you know what? I hear the story. I'm like, a pony bolts into a crowd at the church festival. I think, poor pony. What was somebody doing to that poor pony? Like, you know it's bad if you immediately go in defense of the animal. Like, somebody must have done something to that poor little scared little pony.
Well, apparently they said people were shoving into me. They were screaming and running. They were so terrified. Well, you know, people screaming and running, that helps the pony calm down.
That's going to calm it down. Woo! Nothing like being nice and quiet.
And apparently an announcer was on the thing saying, loose pony, loose pony. And everybody was like freaking out.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. Seriously, it's a pony.
I love the animal control officer from Macomb County. This is in Georgia, by the way. And the animal control officer said the only similar incident he could recall in his 15-year career was when an emu escaped from a petting zoo. So
that's rural Georgia for you. Well, one time this emu, it looks like an ostrich, just a little smaller. It was escaped from the zoo, and it started running around, and people just went crazy. It took us 15 minutes to catch the thing before we had to put it back in the zoo. Oh, my God. I love it. That's hilarious.
Oh, those are my two funny stories. I have one more before we get Leslie on officially, but I have to bring Leslie into this conversation. Hello, Leslie.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
We'll get you on officially here in a second, but I have another story. They did a study. TheHorse.com posted this, and they did this study. It was in England, I believe, or somewhere in Europe. And they did a study to see if horses react differently to men and women. And what they did is they took eight horses, and they took all these riders and stuff, and they did a jumper course, and they had the males get on and ride, and then the females get on and ride, and they wanted to see what the difference was. They checked their heart rates, and they kept an eye on their different levels, and then they also checked the riders. In the end of all of this study, they determined that the horses really don't care, that they more cared about whether you were a good rider or not, rather than whether you were a good male or female rider or not. How much do you think they paid for this?
How much what, Glenn?
Do you think they paid for this study? I could have saved them a lot of money. I could have saved them a lot of money. Now, I believe that horses do have a preference, especially based on their environment. If they grew up with a guy that was beating them, then they don't like guys. We've had horses like that. Or, you know, we've had horses that didn't like women. But I think that comes from history more than, you know, whether they instinctually like men or women better. You guys agree or disagree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think each horse is different.
Yeah. I agree with that, too. And, you know, the other thing that this study didn't take into account is developing a bond. They were riding completely new horses. They were just hopping on the horse and going. So it's not like the horse had any, you know, all the horse knew was there was a rider up there and how good or not the rider was. He didn't have time to develop a bond. So you can't really throw that into the mix either. And I think that's important because we do develop bonds.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's interesting, and that's a waste of money, if you ask me.
Exactly. Now we can bring her in officially.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
And that's why we have Leslie on with us every single week, is to explore the wacky world of horses. And over at Horse Nation, we missed you last week, Leslie. You ditched us.
I know.
You ditched us. You were gone. Probably on vacation in some island someplace.
No, not quite. I was in Chicago. So, doing family stuff. So, not quite an island, sunny island, but.
No.
Yeah.
Chicago, Caribbean island, not the same. Yeah.
No, not the same. I tell you, that bumper music, like, it just never gets old. Like, but it always feels so dramatic. Like, I just feel like I have a lot to live up to. It gives me some anxiety, too.
You know what you should have? When you start the show every day, you should have your lightsaber in your hand. And I know you're a geek. I know you probably have one because you're a geek. And you could wear your Uhura outfit, too, and that would
Wait. Can I call you out on your geekiness right now? Did you say a lightsaber, but Lieutenant Uhura? Isn't that Star Trek and Star Wars together? You're jumping franchises, Glenn.
Hey, I just saw Guardians of the Galaxy. They jumped about 12 franchises.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, maybe I have a whole closet full of geek stuff. Like, maybe I have it all.
Now, were you into the sci-fi geek stuff or just the horsey geek stuff? Do you go to Comic-Con?
No. I don't know. You know, I appreciate that, and just have participated in some of it. I have a couple of friends that are just like pretty big Star Trek or Star Wars nerds.
Leslie, the question Glenn actually really wants to ask that he will not ask. There's only one thing on his mind right now, and is it, do you have the Princess Leia bikini, gold bikini? You don't have to answer it.
I can't answer that question.
Oh, there we go. Well, now we know the answer to that question. Let me get on her. Let me check her Facebook page and see if that picture's ever been posted. Actually, you did come here to talk about horse stuff and stuff on Horse Nation. And the first one, horses and divorce, just another statistic. So tell us what this was about, because we all are interested in this.
Oh, yeah, because we're constantly, like, making jokes about, you know, our significant others putting up with us and getting frustrated. And so one of our writers, Amanda Ronan, decided she would look into this and see if there are actually any official statistics, perhaps linking our horse hobby to divorce. And she found, you know, plenty of statistics on divorce, but, you know, no studies out there specifically about the divorce marriage rates of equestrians. However, undeterred, she decided to Google
make some up.
Spouse. we're real into scientific research here. Yeah.
Okay, I think judging by my friends, about 60% of them get divorced.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, yeah, she says actually 50% of marriages end in divorce. That's kind of terrifying.
Leslie, 27% of studies are all false anyway. They're made up. Wait, no, I'm sorry. 72% of all studies are made up.
Wow. That's a very specific statistic itself. I bet.
Sorry,
maybe that's one of those that's made up. Falls into the 22%. So Amanda Googled spouse hates horse, that specific phrase, into her Google search bar. And guess how many results came up?
Thousands.
Tens of thousands.
No?
How
bigger.
Many?
Bigger.
136 million results.
Oh, my God. There's got to be a lot of divorces in that.
Isn't that wild? So she...
And so she, you know, started sort of combing through them and gave us some samples, you know, from various internet commenters who said, like one said, I know one woman who has to hide her horse expenses by paying with cash from the ATM so that her husband doesn't find out what she's spending it on. Like, I can't relate to that at all.
Both of you guys are going, yeah? So what's wrong with that?
I try not to react to that so I wouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah. So, you know, it seemed like, I mean, so there are, you know, common reasons for just divorce in general. I think they, you know, poor communication, finances, infidelity. And, you know, I think the horses kind of, I think we can, you know, as far as like money, time and emotional investment.
Yeah, let me talk to you about that one right there. Time, because there's something in here I want to bring up. This is more serious now again. Sorry, guys. It says, a New Zealand rider wrote, for years he would come to the stables with me. He had his own horse and everything. However, he gradually started losing interest and getting more and more resentful of the time I spent with them. He hates horses now, and he sees them as the reason for the breakdown in our marriage. And, you know, I've been through every emotion you can imagine over the last 30 years, having come into this as a non-horse person. And I've been through every emotion there is. And I'm telling you, in a situation like this, and I want to see if you guys agree, the horse is an excuse. There's other things going on. He is using the horse as an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had a long-time boyfriend. We dated for about 4 years, who was always, you know, I think felt threatened by the horse thing. But I think that if that's threatening to you, then maybe you're not, you know, I think Liz, you're saying, like, maybe there's something underlying there that you just don't feel secure about the relationship in general and sort of projecting that onto the horse habit. That's what I would say.
Look at us. We're marriage counselors today.
Seriously.
We are here to help.
Good Lord.
We'll bill you later.
Yeah. Bad advice. Free.
Jamie doesn't care right now because her marriage is perfect because her husband came to her aid on Saturday and was a hero. So right now she just all googly-eyed, not thinking about any of this. So we'll change that again next
time. I found plenty of ways to get mad at them later on that day. It's fine.
All right. People can read that article. Just search for the article that says horses and divorce, just another statistic. All right. Let's head on over to 20 ridiculously inept things said by real-life horse owners. Now, so tell us about this article. You guys come up with the wackiest things.
Oh, always.
Guess who wrote this one?
me and Carly Mitchell. She's one of our frequent contributors, and we started brainstorming on this list of things that, you know, I think we've all heard. We talk a lot about unhorsey people saying sort of uneducated things, but you know, that's not necessarily confined to unhorsey people. There are some pretty clueless horse owners out there too, who, you know, judging from some of the things that they say, maybe shouldn't, maybe they should stick to gerbils or hamsters or goldfish.
So these are things that they have heard people say or are in print somewhere, or where did these come from?
Oh, yeah, we've actually heard these, heard a lot of these questions and comments. Absolutely.
All right, give us some examples here.
Let's see. Carly says, I pulled my horse out of the pen after a year off and took her for a good hard gallop in the field to get her back in shape.
Oh, gosh.
That's going to work.
That works.
For me, just tie him up wherever. And this goes along with a photo that I actually found on Craigslist that has a picture of a horse
on that. It looks like about a, I don't know, 20-foot lead rope line piece of something, rope, tied to a the bumper of a truck.
Oh, when we went to look at Scooter, my rescue pony, we got there and he was out in the field. When we went back to pick him up about an hour later after we told the lady we'd be back, he was tied on a rope that was less sturdy than that to a tree in front of the house, and he was doing circles around the tree. The tree was lunging him. Yeah. So.
Wow. Yeah.
Never good.
Yeah. Never.
Oh, yeah. Talking about this, you have to see the pictures that go along with these things, because reading them is just half of it. And oh my gosh, I've heard so many of these too. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Poor horse. This one is so true, and this is my neighbor said this one. They have a four-year-old daughter. This is our neighbor that we don't like. They said, we're going to get her a baby horse so they can grow up together. Yeah,
green,
that's
mixed
never
black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close, too far.
Yeah, I'm like that? Do you like your child? Do you like your child? I would want to keep her around, but whatever. I mean,
yeah.
I don't really like her. Whatever. Do whatever you want. You're the parent.
Yeah.
Green horses and green riders are great pairs. They learn together. You've actually heard that from a horse person? Oh.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think I would say quote-unquote horse person. But, yeah, we've heard it before. Here's one that always gets me. Don't worry. This horse wouldn't hurt a fly. Like, that, to me, I hear this, fairly frequently. People don't understand that your horse might be the kindest, sweetest, gentlest horse in the world, but, you know, things happen. Horses spook. Horses, they stumble and fall. They, they have giant bodies. They accidentally do things they don't mean to with.
Well, and probably this person said, don't worry, this horse literally would not hurt a fly. And I'm pretty sure that it swats at flies all day long.
It
will hurt a fly. Like, you're wrong just in your little stupid statement. You're lying right now, whether you like it or not. Oh, my God.
We saw a Craigslist ad, or posted a Craigslist ad on Horse Nation probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the photo from the ad was a man laying underneath a horse with the horse's hoof sort of balanced on his chest. And the point, and he's just like grinning at the camera, and the point of he's trying to make, of course, is this horse is totally safe, wouldn't hurt a fly, wouldn't, watch it not step on me. And the horse is clearly, seemed to appear to be like sleeping or whatever. But, what if the horse gets bitten by a fly? What if somebody in the, somebody's car backfires that's driving past, it doesn't matter how innately sweet your horse is,
Jamie, there's one in here that goes along with the picture you posted when you went to the Western thing in Texas. I'm a little big for him, but he don't mind.
What's awful is that you see these and they're kind of funny. The pictures are funny, but they're also so very sad. So very sad. And I've never heard anybody say this. Carly must have been, I don't know where she was. Stallions don't lift their hooves because that would mean they're surrendering their weapons. I'm pretty sure stallions mount with lifting their hooves. That doesn't even make any sense.
I love this one you had in here, Leslie. I wanted him to have company. There's a picture of a horse in with some emus and some goats and chickens. He's the only horse in there.
No, and the look on his face, Lazar, he's just like, come take me.
The last
thing
we have seen happen in Lancaster County. We have seen that one happen.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Which one?
Growing up, I have seen that one happen. Jennifer has too. The last one says a stud won't mount a sister if I put them in a pen together, right? And there's a picture of a cow mounting a horse, and we have seen that.
Oh.
Seen the cow mounting the horse. And, 'cause they put them out
and the horse is just standing there eating hay.
He's in the cows. Don't be a hater, Leslie. Don't be a hater.
Looking at the comments, Leslie, what exactly went on in my head was the comment of Barbara, the first comment. I think that Leslie and Carly need to start hanging around with other types of horse people, because then they might hear more normal horse owner comments. And that's the truth. Where the hell are you guys hanging out? My God, you've heard all those things.
They are from Tennessee. Let's keep that in mind.
Ha ha.
Gotcha.
But it's true.
I'm from a place where the cows are mounting the horses. So, what do I got to say? all right, let's go on to the last one here. By the way, you can see the rest of those and got to go see the pictures at Horse Nation. The last one was 10 unexpected perks of horseback riding. So tell us about that one.
Carla Lake wrote this one for us over the weekend. And she just sort of started listing out some of the unexpected, the sort of things, that perks of riding that we don't necessarily think about, that we kind of take for granted, like the fact that we can wear stretchy pants all the time. Love stretchy pants.
The second one I have seen more often than anything else with horse people, on an unlimited supply of excuses not to do stuff you don't want to do, because a horse is sick, a horse is colicking, I can't leave the horse right now because I got to feed it at 4 o'clock. You guys have more excuses not to do stuff because of the horse.
Yeah, this is one. The other chaos in your car, mobile tack trunk, has weeded out which people are willing to drive with you, and thus who is truly worthy of your friendship. Like, I never have to drive anybody anywhere because no one wants to get in my truck because it's disgusting and full of horse crap.
And they go, I'm allergic to horses. Well, then you don't want to get in my car because I had a saddle pad in there a week ago and there's still hair, although probably the rest of your tack is still in your truck.
Well, the fact that if you can get into a horse girl's back seat in a pickup truck, that's a clean one, if you can get in at all.
Right. Yeah. So true.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good ones. Head on over to Horse Nation. You'll see that and so much more there every single day. Leslie is like a posting machine. She just keeps posting and posting and posting. And Google, your Google search history must be incredible. Like,
Yeah, it's probably, that's what I spend most of my day doing, just Googling around, seeing what kind of crazy horse stuff is out there. So I do it so you guys don't have to.
Oh, my gosh. I'm reading the comments of the people saying that things that, oh, my God. One of the things a horse person said was overheard is, isn't my horse just supposed to suck the wormer out of the tube? Oh, I want that one. That's awesome. Oh, these are great, Leslie. Oh, my gosh. Great job. I'm such a Horse Nation junkie. Actually, when I was at the phone store yesterday, trying to kill time while I was waiting on a representative, I started looking at Horse Nation, and I realized I should put Horse Nation on every tablet in there. So I went around, but the homepage is Horse Nation. So people are going to be like, what the hell?
Dude, that's amazing.
I was bored. I was like, well, let's just give the Horse Nation some hits. People would be like, in the middle of the city, what the hell is Horse? What is Horse Nation? There you go. Just a little gift from
goodness.
Me to you.
I love it. You're insane, and I love it.
All right, Leslie. Thank you for joining us. Talk to you again next week.
Sure thing. Bye.
Bye. Oh, will you have her on next week, Glenn? Probably not, because you're
Ada.
Oh,
no, that reminds me. Thank you. I'm going to make a note of that. I got to let Leslie know she's not on next week, because I will be at Ada next week. Colleen is going to be co-hosting, and Jennifer has now set up the co-hosts for next week. They have their dates, And it looks like Robin Donahue's going to be doing really bad ads next week.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And then Doreen is going to be doing trivia. So everybody's all set up and the guests are set up, getting set up. Jennifer's getting everything nailed down. So we'll have all of your replacements in line.
And, of course, they will have guests and they will be the host because I'm on vacation. I'm going to the ranch. Yeah, I'm excited. Can you tell?
I can tell. Are you excited? Are you sure?
I am thrilled. I'm so excited.
When do you leave? You leave?
Saturday,
okay. Coming back the following weekend then?
Yeah. Coming back the following Saturday, yeah. So I'm excited. And it's been really actually not as hot here as it has been. Like this past week, we've had days around 105 as opposed to 115. And 105 is better than 115. I know it's hard to believe. So apparently the week we're going to be gone is supposed to be record hot. Bye-bye, everybody in Phoenix. See you later. Hey, house sitter, take care of the horses. Make sure they're drinking enough. Okay, bye-bye. Clean those stalls. Appreciate it.
Have your horse quencher on hand.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's terrific. Definitely. I'm so excited for you to go on your vacation. You're going to have a good time and come back. And you're going to be Katniss when you come back. You're going to be stealthily running through the woods with your bow and arrow.
Yep, I'm going to be Katniss Everdeen, bareback with my Princess Leia gold bikini on, galloping around on my horse.
You got Leslie on that one. She didn't know what to say to that one.
Yeah, you too.
She did, actually.
Hey, real quick, before we go,
yeah.
I've got to just thank you for posting the video of the kid on the bull.
Oh, isn't that hilarious?
The cutest video I've ever seen. So it starts out, you guys, let's repost it just in case somebody hasn't seen it and
the
they want to go and check what we're
it.
Posting. Yeah, the six people that haven't seen it. It starts out as the kid, like this tiny little boy, and his dad is telling him he's sitting on a bull, like in one of the little squeeze chutes.
Yeah.
And he's putting the rope around his hands, his dad teaching him how to, like, wrap the rope around his hands. And at this point, panic. Just who does that to their kid? Who puts their kid in a bowl? This guy does. And so let's post it. And I don't want to ruin it in case there's reaction, but in case you haven't seen it. But it's awesome. Best video I've ever seen. And a million people have posted or tagged me in it saying that this baby Lucas, this is his job. This is what he's going to do.
What he's going to be involved with. He's going to be a cowboy bullfighter.
Bull rider, baby. That's what he's going to do.
Right after he's done taking down the criminals of Phoenix.
God, I hate a thief. There's nothing worse. Nothing worse. Ugh. Makes me mad.
I think your story about Triangle Man was actually funnier, part of the whole story.
God, that guy's such a jerk.
Ugh. There's always one of those in every phone store, too, and you just hope you don't end up with that one. There's always the nice girl who's very pleasant, very helpful, and then there's the kind of geeky guys, and then there's Triangle Man. And that's the whole phone store right there. And everyone is the same. It's like a cookie-cutter mold. The HR department goes, oh, we don't have a Triangle Man right now. We have to hire one of those. And that, they look out and look for Triangle Man. And then they go, oh, we need the nice girl. We need the nice girl who's just going to sweet everybody to death. We don't have one of those right now. So they put an ad in the paper that says, nice girl needed for AT&T phone store in Central Phoenix. And then they hire the nice girl. See, that's what they do. It's a mold. They just stamp them out.
So does anybody ever go to Triangle Man? Because Triangle Man is the guy that has been working out. I should have taken a picture of him. It was freakish. His arms were huge. His neck was huge. His pecs were huge. Everything was huge. And then he had a belly and skinny legs. And does anybody ever say, dude, do a sit-up or a squat or something. Even it out. I bet some chick is sitting at a bar next to him. And if you're sitting at a bar, you look at him, you're like, dang, that guy is built. I should go home with that guy. And then they go home with that guy. And they're like, like totally scared because the bottom half does not match the top half.
And those guys are always obnoxious, too. You're right, they're used car salesmen. Like, that's what they're – that's the kind of obnoxious they are. They're the intimidators and the enforcers. If you say no, then he gets the job to try and, you know, just intimidate you into getting a phone, which is what he was doing right off the bat.
Yeah. Oh, he was –
because you're this
was,
little 5'2", little 5'2 girl with a baby. What he didn't know – is your 5'2 horse girl with a baby, which changes
yes.
the whole dynamic.
He should have noticed when he saw the hay in my hair, but I guess he didn't pick up on that.
You have dealt with bigger creatures than him in the past and won. So, yeah.
And my husband will grab you and almost punch you if you get too close to our baby. Because he could outrun you because your legs are like spaghetti noodles. That's hilarious. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are.
Did it hit the Phoenix paper, the Phoenix Sun? Did it come out that fighter pilot saves day in AT&T store? No?
It would have been better if he'd actually hit the guy and stolen the tablets back. But he was trying to be a responsible father, and I was so incredibly proud of him. So incredibly proud. It was awesome. It was awesome. So if you didn't hear that story, you can go back to the beginning and listen again, because I'm going to be telling that story for quite some time, I think. It was so cool.
But the fact is, he just didn't want to hurt his hand. That's what probably it comes down to.
You know,
his hands are valuable.
I mean, his hands are very valuable. He didn't want to hurt his hands, and, you know, he could have been out of flying forever, you know, on some thug who is going to spend 15 minutes with a cell phone. So.
Right, exactly. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back here tomorrow morning. As I said, it is Endurance Day tomorrow with Karen Chatton back here. We're going to be talking to the winner of Tevis. We're going to be also talking to the junior rider who got the Best Fit Award for Tevis. That's always an award that the horse that's the fittest coming in. And it was a junior rider. We're going to be talking to him also. So we're going to find out all about that. And we'll also keep an eye. We'll do a report. We'll make sure we check on the Mongol Derby for you tomorrow and give you a report. And then Jamie will be back here on Wednesday. So we will be back here live on Wednesday. Well, Jamie,
right,
you take
everybody.
Care of yourself. Keep an eye on the phone. Don't take it out of your pocket. You know, staple it to your thigh. Something.
I'm going to put it in my half chap.
There you go. I will find something to hold your phone this weekend, okay? I'll commit
you.
That. All right. We'll,
that'd be
we'll
great.
Look at, all right. Talk, and buy an OtterBox. So next time it hits the road and 12 people drive over, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Is that the strongest one? That's the one you recommend?
OtterBox is the strongest one, and they have a guarantee, too, that if something happens to your phone, they'll replace it. So now I don't know if it getting driven over by, you know, a Mack truck.
Mack
is
truck.
Included in that.
Come
I'm
on.
Sure.
Stand behind your product. Seriously.
We'll see everybody.
Bye. Hey. Stay neutered, girls. Don't steal anything. At least until Wednesday. Please. I need a break.